We are back again at the NAFB virtual convention. This time we're going to visit with the American Farm Bureau Federation Chief Economist John Newton. And John, I would imagine you've been pretty busy virtually over the last couple of days talking a lot of agriculture.
Well, we certainly have, whether it's been with the National Association of Farm Broadcasters, spent a lot of time yesterday, but also our state farm bureaus around the country are having their conventions. Whether they're virtual or in some areas they're lucky enough to have a good place where they can socially distance and gather and review policy for the upcoming year. So I had the opportunity to visit with Utah Farm Bureau members last night. So a very busy couple of days.
Let's talk about 2020 and the farming year. It, I think, was a little bit of a mixed bag depending on where you live. Some people got hit by very bad winds. Some people didn't get any rain. Some people got too much. But overall, I think the growing season much better in 2020 than it was in 2019. So maybe just give me a few thoughts that you have for this last year's growing season.
2019 was a pretty tough year. It was a historically late planted crop. You know, we knew that the crop wasn't there in 2019. Ultimately, it took till 2020 to really start to see that 2019 crop get smaller. Then this year, the crop has gotten smaller by the month, to the extent that we're now in a situation where, because of very strong exports that have come online the last couple months, we're looking at a pretty tight corn and soybean complex, much tighter than I think anyone even anticipated going back to the spring.
And it's definitely made a difference in prices. We've seen a fairly good rebound in a couple of different commodities, soybeans, corn, even dairy recently has had some better numbers. That should help the farm economy.
It certainly should. I think that folks are obviously hoping for beans in the teens sometime in the next few months. But we have seen higher prices for wheat. Pork prices have rebounded in recent weeks. And you know, my expectation is, when's all said and done, 2020 net farm profitability will be a pretty good year, because yeah, we've seen these higher prices of late that come on top of, you know, ad hoc assistance from Congress and the administration to help farmers bridge the gap of COVID-19 demand destruction. Had we not had that support, I don't think we'd be having as optimistic of a conversation right now.
Well, and then we turn the page to 2021, and again, there was a lot of either, you know, average or good or great crops this year. 2021, as this moment goes right now, we're not expecting any federal help. I don't know if that's going to be necessary or not, but do you have any thoughts about what the next year is going to bring us?
Well, I don't think we're expecting much federal help. I think there are pockets where additional assistance is still needed. For example, disaster assistance to help people recover from the derecho. You know, obviously we had five hurricanes hit Louisiana over a month or two period. That certainly impacted some of those farming operations. But moving into 2021, I think if we see demand continue to be there into the spring, we're obviously going to see, you know, more soybean acres, potentially even 90 million acres. Probably, about the same or slightly less corn acres and maybe even more wheat acres. So, you know, growers can alter their crop rotations based on market signals. And right now the signal's telling us we need more soybeans.
Oh, we're into kind of mid-fall or late stages of fall. So what have your thoughts been on phase one with China?
Well, I think that things are moving in the right direction. Obviously, you know, USDA and USDR, they issued the report a few weeks ago that indicated that we weren't quite going to meet the total purchase commitment under the Phase One agreement, but we're moving in the right direction. They've imported about $13 billion worth of product through September. The expectation is, given their record amount of corn and soybean export commitments, that exports will remain strong throughout the remainder of the calendar year, and then they've obviously made a number of structural changes in that market that should make it easier for our farmers, ranchers, and agribusinesses to sell into the Chinese market.
Part of the reason, maybe a majority of the reason, that China probably hasn't gotten up all the way to those expectations is COVID-19. Do you think there's going to be some forgiveness kind of on the U.S. side if we don't get to the big totals that were put out?
At this point, you know, I think there's a lot of uncertainty on, you know, what President-elect Biden's, you know, positions on trade are going to be, whether it's, re-engaging in a TPP, looking at the RCEP, how he's going to posture on the phase one with China, whether it's multilateral approach. All of that depends on who, you know, he's going to tap to sit at USTR and kind of oversee, you know, our trade objectives over the next 4 years. And so none of the seats on the bus have been filled at this point. So anything right now is really speculative.
I do want to talk to you about supply shortages. We don't seem to really have any at the moment, but it was a big issue in the spring, especially in the meat area. Now everything seems to, at least the summer, got fixed, but now we're seeing COVID-19 really kind of take off again in many states. Is there any possibility of supply shortages again?
You know, what I think we've seen now with our meat plants is not only do they have, you know, access to the right personal protective equipment for their employees, the plants have been fabricated to make sure that employees are safe while they're preparing and processing our food. So I don't anticipate seeing those kind of processing facilities going down again due to any potential illnesses. I think what's most likely, you know, is a run on a grocery store, you know, for eggs or bread or milk. But that'd be temporary. We've got plenty of food in the supply chain. You know, Americans, it's amazing to think that throughout this pandemic, you've been able to go to a store and pretty much get whatever you want the last 6 or 7 months. And that's a testament to, you know, our farmers and ranchers out there who are farming every single day to put food, fuel, and fiber in this great economy.
And I have to ask you, Thanksgiving is coming up, John, and I know that the you specifically and the AFVF puts together the Thanksgiving costs of what it's going to cost you to put together a, I think it was of 10, right? 10 people at the Thanksgiving table?
It's a group of 10. I don't know how many people are going to have 10 people for Thanksgiving this year, but, you know, we've been doing this survey for 35 years. 2020, being that it is, we're still going to do that survey. It's important.
Right.
We had over 200 volunteer shoppers. We got survey results from 50 states. I can tell you that the average cost of a Thanksgiving dinner, that classic meal, your turkey, your stuffing, your cranberries, your pumpkin pie, $46.90. That's down 4% from last year. The turkey, $1.21, down 7% from last year. Overall, that classic dinner for 10 is going to be the lowest price we've seen since 2010.
That's actually kind of amazing to think about, you know, with everything that's going on in the world right now, that it's actually cheaper right now to put together a Thanksgiving meal. And Americans need, I'm assuming, a little bit cheaper price, too.
We are in the middle of an economic recession. We do have very high unemployment, you know, so that certainly probably factors into it. But, you know, you think about what retailers often do during the holidays. They use the turkey as a way to get consumers in the door. So, you know, more than 80% of retailers are already running promotions on turkey. We've seen turkey prices anywhere between 29 cents and $1.99 across the country. So it helps to get shoppers in the door, and that's why I think we've seen the lower turkey prices.
I'm curious, and maybe you don't know this off the top of your head, but I know that a lot of sectors, my friend is on the National Pork Board, and his farm in particular was geared to supplying restaurant chains. Well, a lot of states now are either limiting or shutting down restaurant chains. Have we found it like sectors like that have been able to adapt now over the last couple of months and maybe found other areas where they can sell their products? Or are they still just waiting for things to rebound?
I think that there are certainly people have tried to be innovative, whether it's food distribution centers opening their doors to consumers, whether it's, you know, Utah Farm Bureau, for example, had a Farmers Feeding Utah program where they took, you know, farm products. They took meat, milk, eggs, produce, and packaged it and delivered it directly to consumers. They've been doing this for several months, and not once did they provide a single canned good item. They're delivering fresh products directly to the consumer. So I think across the country, you're going to find innovative ways that farmers and food companies have adapted, how restaurants have adapted to this COVID-19 environment.
Again, that is the chief economist for the American Farm Bureau Federation, John Newton. You're listening to Farm Talk. We'll be back with more in just a moment.